Okay, I'm back. Well, we're back with another episode. I myself am back. The break room. I'm a few days late. I'm sorry. Before I start, introduce my wife, which you already know. I just want to say breaking news. I just saw that Shedeur Sanders got drafted to the fifth round for the Cleveland Browns. I just found that out. Actually, you just showed it to me. And I'm only bringing up football because, mind you, I don't give a fuck about football no more. I don't care about the NFL, I should say. But the reason why I'm even mentioning this right now, the Shedeur Sanders, who's also the son of Deion Sanders, drafting late in the fifth round. The fifth round, not the first or second round. It's because I feel like this was a classic example of collusion, which is a tough word to use. But it seems like, you know, Shedeur had this reputation of being quote unquote hard to work with. Supposedly he gave tough interviews. He only interviewed with a few teams, and he's hard to work with and whatnot. That's what you hear as far as chatter. But then you hear also there's an undertone of Deion Sanders being a distraction as his father, race possibly being a factor in this. I don't know because I don't even watch college football. I don't watch college football, and ever since the 90s, I stopped watching college basketball. I used to be a big Red Storm St. John's fan, but I stopped watching the NCAA period. So I don't really watch amateur college sports no more. So I didn't track Shedeur's talent and rise in the college rankings. So I don't know how good he is, to be honest. So I'm out of my league here. But what I will say is, as I was watching the past few days of the NFL draft days, I never watched the NFL draft. I found it interesting. Like, okay. I saw Stephen A. Smith had his first take comments about it, saying possibly because of Deion. But last night, I'm seeing quarterbacks who were less talented, more distractions get picked up. I'm like, okay, this is definitely collusion. This is like when the job, in other words, this is like the job place where, like, at the job place where people don't like someone. So everyone behind that person's back is like colluding to make sure they don't be successful or rise.
So just to bring a little bit of more clarity, for those that don't know what collusion is a noun, C-O-L-L-U-S-I-O-N. It is a secret agreement or cooperation, especially for an illegal or deceitful purpose.
Right. And I like I said, I do not know how good or not good he is. I don't know that.
Now, to play devil's advocate, because I don't know, and I don't watch any of this, but let me ask you, you know, what I've seen in my work experience a lot of times is like the person that gets promoted, yes, they are hardworking. Yes, they are knowledgeable. But sometimes there are other people that are just as hardworking, if not more, just as talented, if not more talented. The difference is one is easier to work with than another. Like I've seen at in my work experience, it's like the person that gets promoted is the person that's not going to defy the boss, are going to go against the boss, is going to stand up for themselves.
I've seen that. People who can play ball, quote unquote.
Play the game. So
can be modeled, or not modeled, can be molded.
So although the young child, young man Sanders, Shedeur, you said?
Shedeur, yeah.
He's probably way more talented. Probably way more skilled, has a lot of drive, but he knows too much. He knows too much and he knows his worth. And bosses don't like that.
Well, he does know his worth because in the last few years, there's been a thing called NIL. I always forget what NIL stands for. But basically, there's been this thing now in the last few years with college athletes where now they can now finally profit off their own image, likeness, etc. Not like the old days. Back in the day, if you were the Fab Five and you wore Nike black socks and you were popular, it didn't matter. The NCAA kept all your money and you didn't make no money. All you got was free tuition. But now in the last few years, you know, that's been broken where now players in college are making their own money. And I think Shedeur made like $4 to $5 million on his own through college before going pro.
Good for him.
Yeah, you know, he had his chain. He had a Bentley.
Hold on.
Watching.
Doesn't that go to show how much money these universities have been making off of these players?
Well, the NCAA is a $1 billion industry. College, mind you. Not the pros, it's college.
That's crazy.
That's partially why I don't really watch and support college.
But imagine how much they made off of like a Zion. Remember when Zion was in college?
Yes.
With that being said, because my husband, I don't know if you could tell, but we are actually in the comfort of our bedroom. We decided to record in our bedroom this time because we wanted to be in the same room together this time. So you're in our space. But my husband wants to dive into directly because he's talking about horny dudes. My man, Shannon, not so sharp.
Hold on. Before Shannon starts,
My bad. I need to go with my daughter. Forced then just end the button on Shador. So like I said, the NIL thing, he made money. And people are like, yo, you know, there's an old boys club when it comes to football and baseball, but especially football, where it's like, if you made money without us, fuck you. And also, if you are enjoying life more than football, fuck you. So there is some of that too. But yeah, back to horny dudes come. Yeah, you brought up Zion. He's top tier horny, but go ahead.
Yeah, my man is undisciplined. But that goes to show, like, talent isn't everything. You got to have a certain amount of discipline. You got to know how to control your urges, control your desires. But let's get into our man, Club Shay. My man. I hate that it had to be you, Yo, let me just say, I will say that I am a little bit biased because, you know, I have been like a big fan of Shannon Sharp ever since he went on Fox Sports with Skip.
Skip?
And they had their show together.
Skip?
And then when he left that situation,
Skip?
He did the podcast. And I've been listening to that podcast since day one. I always liked this persona. But Mike, this goes to show two things. One, the downfall of most powerful men is vagina. Number two, when men pretend to be like, I'm a good guy, I'm a square, I don't do drugs, I don't do this. Most of the time when I hear that, like, oh, I don't have any vices, I'm like, oh, you're a womanizer.
Everybody has a vice.
Everybody has a vice. But when I hear men, especially, like, they keep themselves really fit and, you know, they dress a certain way and I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't gamble, I live a very square life, I'm like, oh yeah, you're a womanizer.
Yeah, everybody has a vice. Everybody has a vice.
And prove me wrong if you disagree with me, but go ahead, Mike.
Everybody has a vice, but what I will say is, I can't say I was shocked with the Shannon Sharp news. First of all, what I will say is last weekend around this time, Shannon Sharp, it was announced that he is going to be, his contract's up with the Colin Cowherd Network. Colin Cowherd is a journalist, sports journalist. He's on Fox Sports 1. But he has his own side network. And The Volume, I think it's called. Whatever. And that's where Club Shay Shay's on. Sort of like Barstool with Gilly Walla. With that being said, his contract was up, apparently, and he was due for a $100 million deal, potentially, valued at that. And what happens Monday morning or whatever, right afterwards, this news breaks out about Shannon Sharp allegedly, is it rape? What's the news clipping? It's like, he's like basically a 19-year-old girl or 19-year-old then is accusing him of sexual harassment and there's phone messages, audio saying that he claimed that he'll choke her allegedly and shit like that. Basically just being super horny, super aggressive. Now they're saying there's other victims saying that he might have raped them one time.
And they're bringing up a previous settlement that he had with another person he worked with.
Yeah, and supposedly it's alleged that he tried to settle with this girl for $10 million as well, allegedly. And now it's affecting his livelihood, it looks like, because he is stepping away from ESPN to the NFL.
Stepping away?
Yeah, stepping away from the ESPN duties until the NFL season returns. And it's an overall mess for him. It's a mess for him. And one, I'm not shocked, to be honest. I'm not surprised or shocked because he had that weirdo incident on Instagram Live.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know. I never even looked into it too much. I just know that I heard the incident. I was like, this is weird. And that was that. But even that, when a man is open with his sexual proclivities, with his sexual quote-unquote prowess, it's always off-putting. It always means that you are a horny dude with issues. Listen, I know someone, and that person knows who he is. Years ago.
Shout out to Juan Epp.
Years ago, a particular person shared in a particular group chat a video. This is pre-iPhone, maybe. He shared in a group chat a video of him having sex with another girl. And I was
in a chat room with other men.
Other men. And I was repulsed then by, speaking of repulsed, Kanye, you crazy.
Oh,
you're
into that.
I remember thinking to myself then, this is not normal. This is insane. This reminds me of 7th grade, 8th grade in the locker room where guys would love to brag and boast about chicks they were messing with. And then go into weird details about, I shouldn't know this about this girl. Why are you telling me this? And it let me know that, oh, you're doing this you're trying to get my attention. You're trying to show me or the world that you have control and that you are on top of things. You're not actually enjoying your time with this lady or with these women.
You're trying to prove a point.
You're trying to prove a point. You have a mission greater than enjoying the moment with a woman. And if you have more of a mission to do more than enjoy time with a lady, that means you're not enjoying your time with a woman. You're too busy elsewhere.
So you think that the incident with Shannon at that time, when the audio, the IG Live thing happened, that was intentional?
I was willing to give him the benefit of the doubt then that shit just happens. You know what I'm saying? I was willing to give him that. And that's why I didn't pay no attention to it too much. But now I'm like, okay, either whether it's intentional or not, you have issues when it comes to women. If you're 56, turning 57 this year, you mess with a 19, 20-year-old, you have issues. That's another thing, too. That's a pet peeve of mine. I hate when dudes try to say, well, it's legal. It's like, yo, come on.
And that is where I'm going to go. That's where I'm going to go because, yes, Shannon, you are 56 years old to this year. The girl, I believe, this year is turning 21. Yeah. So you could be her grandfather. Now, that's why I always like to bring up legality versus morality. Just because it's legal don't mean it's moral. And just because it's moral doesn't mean it's going to be considered legal. That's why you got to be careful with legality, in my opinion. Yo, brother, let me tell you something. What the hell did you have in common with that girl? And my thing is this. You also have to look at the optics. One, she's a young white woman. She's like a 19, 20 years old when you're messing with her. Do you have like a power thing? And I don't want a kink shape. But then I'm also thinking about it like, man, you look like this big, dark black man, right? That's trying to conquer this young, fair white woman. But who was the ultimate predator at the end of the day? Because she put the capicu on your ass now. She got you hanging by the balls. And it goes to show to me, like, listen, I can't put my hand on the Bible for him because I don't know that man. Okay. But I'm also not going to go crazy calling him certain words because I'm like, yo, he has to see his day in court. Like, I'm not going to be a judge here. But I will say this. I believe it was consensual. Maybe shit did get out of hand. Maybe she was trying to get him from the very beginning because I'm sorry. I'm 39 years old. I have never recorded any conversation I've had with any man. That's just me.
It's weird up ahead.
If I do that, I'm up to something. Okay? So I just think that he was the perfect lick. And I want men to understand something. Like, don't ever get so arrogant and feel like I'm so powerful, I'm untouchable, that you can't be a lick. Because let me tell you something. Look at what happened to Shannon. He thought he was all above it. And yo, you know what's crazy, Mike? He tried to get her to sign an NDA 3 times. And all 3 times, she said no. Isn't it like a red flag? Were you that horny?
Horny. Horny, horny, horny.
Bro, like, hello? Like, you can't be that horny. Like, there has to come to a point where you have to tell yourself, okay, I'm Shannon Sharp. I work for ESPN, aka Disney. I have to conduct myself a certain way, and I gotta vet the people that are around me because I can't have people jeopardizing my position. So I can't be messing with just anybody. That's just me. And I'm not worth a tenth of what he's worth.
No. Yeah. I mean.
Yeah, and then y'all giving it up for the most basic. Oh, my God. Like.
Well, basic. Well, you said common earlier. It seems like with some dudes, some pussy hounds, it's not about finding things in common. It's just about being in control. And people trade in common for being in control. And, you know. The mind of a horny man is psychological. It's deep psychologically. It's like, I don't care what comes with this baggage, as long as I feel like I won. That's how these.
But who won? Who won in this case?
I mean, he definitely lost so far because you're out of work for the season. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not gonna be able to build your brand.
Well, no, he'll be able to build it, but he won't be able to get that big bag that he wanted. Apparently, he was chasing $100 million.
Right, you're disrupting your bag chase. You are selling your name, and it's just a bad look to have certain. Listen, you don't want to have the harassment name on your jacket, the R word rape on your jacket. There's certain things you don't want.
You don't want that creep juice on you.
Yeah, you don't want to be known as a creep. You know what I'm saying? It's hard to get, that's a stench that's hard to wash. I look at Shannon as someone who for the last few years did a great job rebranding, you know? If you were a football fan, you knew he had some charm, but what he was able to do in the last few years was able to transcend culture, transcend media, and transcend sports and be a bigger name and have his own platform. I think everybody was genuinely happy for him.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, especially when he left Skip. So to throw that all away or to potentially ruin your name because you're horny, it just shows that the fate of man will always be himself.
Yo, and I want to, and listen, I want men, if you're listening, I want you to step away from your ego a little bit. Whenever you're going to mess with a woman, especially if you're a man of a certain caliber, I'm talking about like a man that is like at a high power position. He's making good money. You know, he's been able to live a very disciplined life. When you are involved with a woman, what are her intentions with me? What is it about me? Am I that funny? Am I that sexy? Am I that charismatic? Or is she attaching herself to what I'm attached to? You know? And I think that that's a real conversation that men need to have within themselves. Like, yo, because this is the truth. Like, there are women, you're going to attract women that are after your bag. So you got to be especially careful in vetting the type of women that you bring around. And I understand that you're horny, but this is why. You gotta move a certain way so that you could get your horny out the way. In my opinion, Shannon, you're 56 years old. You should not be messing with anybody that's under the age of 40. Listen, I'm 39. I'm too young for you, let alone a 20-year-old girl. You shouldn't be messing with nobody under 40. Get yourself a woman that's worth something, that has something going on with herself, okay? That you have a good rhythm with, okay? And just stick it out with her. Like, don't be chasing these hoes, because these hoes are after the bag, bro.
Philosopher Chris Brown, these hoes ain't look. I'm playing. I'm playing.
No, but say what Kendrick Lamar says all the time.
Oh, on Whack Down Murals. He said, it's getting tricky. He's talking about one woman. What did he say? I saw the other day. He said, you know, basically he said it in Whack Down Murals of the GNX album, by the way. Speaking of horny people, just so we know, Drake was horny last year with the battle, or his horniness came out as a tool to be used against him. And look, his Anita Max Wynn Tours Australia tour that got canceled recently did 11 million, roughly, 11 and a half million, roughly, with 74,000 tickets sold for 12 shows. Kendrick did 2 shows so far of Grand National Tour. 2 shows, $18 million and 89, almost 90,000 tickets. 2 shows to 12 shows. It just shows you that, you know, sometimes, you know, someone who is not horny but focused can have a better presentation and have a better execution of their mission versus someone who maybe is good in his own right, but is disheveled by horniness and by a lack of focus, and your shit gets canceled. You cancel your own self. You know,
Listen, if you're going to lead that bachelor life, then you should have some bachelor confidants that are successful at it give you game. Be like, yo, bro, this is how you got to go about it. Because it's obvious that you're just out here trying to fulfill these desires that you've had all inside of you, but you're going about it the wrong way. I could have told you, that's not the girl that you do that with.
Right.
And also, I think I have to touch on this. Like, you have to look at the optics. You're also, she's like a white woman. And you're a dark-skinned black man. You know, the things that she was saying on that phone to you, to me, is a little bit like, it's creepy. I'm not trying to kink shame, but that whole, oh, I want a big black baby in me. I'm sorry, bro. Yeah,
what are we doing?
Whatever rocks your socks, but that's weird, bro. That is weird.
What are we doing?
Because of the historical context of this country, to me, that's weird. And maybe you're into that whole, like, I don't know, slave master thing, which, maybe you're into that. But I'm here to tell you, as a black man, if you're dealing with a non-black woman especially, you got to make sure that you ask her questions to make sure that she's actually into you and you're just not being fetishized.
On Whacked Out Murals, Kendrick goes, ninjas thought I was antisocial when I stayed inside of my house. You better off to have one woman. Everything's tricky right now.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, before he even said that, I've been living that, preaching that lifestyle. I'm thinking about my boys too. He made him always say that, like, yo, you know, like this Joseph, like, man, you gotta have chicks around. You gotta have chicks around. You gotta be fucking around. I'm like, no, that's a wild life to live, because
it's stressful.
It's even more than stressful. It'll bring you mayhem. Nothing good can come from creating a circus. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, no, it's just, you're better off having one woman in your life, or one person in life, and you're dealing with that as it is. You know what I'm saying? But some people are just chasing their psychological demons. You know what I'm saying? And it's called horny for a reason, because there's horns on it. So it's like, you know, the devil's out to get you. And my thing is like, why would you let yourself fall victim to these demons? It's like, y'all, a lot of y'all dudes out there, y'all need help. Y'all need therapy. And y'all need to realize what you were trained early in life by other men probably first how to value yourself was wrong. Mm. It was wrong. It was misguided. You know, this whole fresh and fit era, especially for the young guys, this whole incel era.
Mike?
This whole incel Andrew Tate era. Mind you, the Andrew Tate, fresh and fit, Myron era is a steroid version of somebody who I'll tell you from day one, I think was that back in the day. Just a little more milder with it. And that's the Michael Jordan era. It's just like the alpha, 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 alpha. Always kill, always destroy. You know, don't pass. Don't shake somebody's hand. Don't whatever. Just kill, kill, kill. Dominate, dominate, dominate. That shit may be great for you professionally. Maybe professionally. But personally, I have yet to meet someone who is that killer instinct professionally. And also have a great romantic life.
I do want to say something, though. Aside now, we're going to be done with the Shannon Sharp situation. Because you brought up that fresh and fit guy that I see that's going on a college tour, like debating people.
Women deserve less. Women deserve less, he said.
You know what I realized? A lot of those guys, they bring up these very salacious conversations because that's the only way they get to engage with other women.
That's that.
They don't know how to really talk to a woman, but they know if they say something crazy, they can get a reaction out of a woman. And that's the way they get to engage with women.
That's their way of getting engagement, period, I would say. I know that guy, Myron from Fresh and Fit. I think he used to be an ATF agent or ATF lawyer.
Oh,
so I know once or twice he's given academics, who's another pillar of manhood. He's given him some legal advice about like certain stuff going on in celebrity culture with legal mm-hmm. issues. But his bread and butter is, you know, women shaming. And I think it shows how some men, especially incel men, they don't have enough value inside of them to be engaging in their own right. So they need a hook to reel you in. It was coming up in my early 20s, late teens. Yeah, I have clothes that are nice, that I could dress nice, and I would present myself well. But I always also liked having the minimal items, you know, the minimal trinkets. You know, I didn't need no Gucci this or Louis that or whatever. I had the minimal items.
Or a big chain.
Because my test was, let's just see how far I get with just me, a gift of gab, hopefully, whatever. Like, let me just see what I get if I strip down myself and only have the bare minimum. Can I work with it? And usually I was okay with it. But when you need trinkets, when you need a Lamborghini, when you need, I hate those little videos. You see those skits of like a guy will be like talking to a girl first and then like he gets into a Lamborghini afterwards and then she chases him. Mm-hmm. Wait, I'm sorry. I didn't realize you were in a Lamborghini. Now it's like, first of all, that's a skit. And second of all, it just perpetuates an idea that like y'all are all materialistic, this whole mm-hmm. world materialistic, and y'all all feed off of money versus mm-hmm. value. Value's inside, you know what I'm saying? And you know, when you're horny, you don't take the time and discipline to work on intrinsic goals, intrinsic motivation, and intrinsic value. It's all external shit because it's quicker for you. But it's candy. It's not a gourmet meal.
And I think out of that, a lot of that banter that goes on in like the manosphere, a lot of that is so toxic. And honestly, it doesn't hold men accountable for a lot of like the work that they need to do inside in order to prosper. In my opinion, it gives men a lot of excuses. And I want to say something because the last time I was on here, we had a conversation towards the end of the podcast about feminism. And a lot of men had a lot to say in the comments. And I just want to say, like, I don't think you guys understand what feminism is. So that's why I'm like, I'm not going to go back and forth. Because if you, the definition of feminism is the equality of both genders. It doesn't mean that women are superior. It doesn't mean that I want to be like you. It just means, hey, what we bring to, we want to be able to bring to the table some of the similar things or have our work valued in the same matter. That's all.
God forbid.
That's all. And guess what? Feminism also helps men. You know, look at the way men have been able to now. The narrative is not like, oh, you can't fight your baby mama in child support or in family court because she's going to win. That's not true. If you show who you are and you show that you're a responsible person, you have a good chance. So we are going towards a very egalitarian society. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of men were like, oh, like they were being very condescending. And if freaking sucks, Mike, because a lot of this is coming from men that are out here supposedly attracted to women.
Makes you wonder how.
And y'all don't want me to get in that bag.
Makes you wonder.
Because I really feel like a lot of y'all don't even like women like that.
Well, I was going to say, it makes you wonder. Shout out to Kanye. Makes you wonder.
Shout out to who?
Attraction. Y'all really attracted to people to begin with. we'll get to that later. Yeah, it makes you wonder how you define attraction if a lot of guys just seemingly are looking to dominate or control, but not collaborate or find in common with someone. I mean, but listen, yeah, I mean, a lot of incels were in the comments section or had one of the debates, especially on TikTok, where I posted that clip there. My thought was, I was tired because I was tired of hearing those comments because I've heard it all my life. I've heard men, as a guy who believes in feminism since I was a little kid, I've heard men trying to rebuff or trying to combat the idea of feminism all my life. So I have fatigue over it. You know what I'm saying? One thing I learned about men is you cannot change a man's opinion.
I know.
Largely because a lot of men, not all, but a lot of men equate manhood and masculinity with strength. And sometimes strength strictly.
And sometimes physical people strength. Have a problem admitting that maybe what I believed was wrong. People like to be wrong and strong, let me tell you.
Well, like I said, a lot of men equate manhood and with biology as far as strength. And obviously biology plays a big part in our differences as far as male to female.
Yeah, but I'm not debating.
But what makes a responsible person, male or woman, man or woman, it takes internal work that it feels like a lot of men have never attempted to do, you know, or attempted to work on. You know, a lot of men are freestyling their emotions or they're suppressing their emotions. And then it all comes to a head at the wrong times, you know? And there's a lot of dudes out there who are undercover. What do you call it when you're like gay and...
DL?
Yeah, they're down low and they're ruining lives because they don't know how to just be... They champion Michael Jordan, but they don't want to be as heroic themselves and say, you know what? I also...
Mike, this goes back to, remember in the last episode, I said homophobia hurts people. That's what I meant. If that person dealt with their internalized homophobia and allowed themselves to admit to themselves, yo, I'm gay. And you know what? I should stop lying about it and live the way that I want to live.
Yeah, especially if like...
Then you wouldn't be stringing people along, hurting people's feelings, breaking families over that shit. That just be you. Even though I do want to say, because, yo, I'm an ally. I love my LGBTQIA people. But guess what?
What's Y and A?
IA, intersex, asexual. But I do want to say, it is a privilege to live out loud. And if somebody doesn't want to live out loud, it's okay. It's okay. That doesn't mean that I'm okay with DL. No, but what I'm saying is if a person maybe just wants to be present themselves as don't ask, don't tell, then I'm okay with it. I respect it because not everybody gets to live in a very liberal place.
I agree. I feel like it's best to live your truth. I agree.
But with that being said, we have way more stuff to talk about.
Just want to say this. So right now, Shannon Sharp has been added to my horny Rolodex.
Who else is in your horny Rolodex?
Bill Cosby, you are a Hall of Famer. When you have different decades of horniness, of stories, that's...
Hold up. Our good brother Puff Daddy.
Puff? Puff's an interesting case because supposedly there's holes in Puff's story where he may get some leniency or it may get downplayed or something. Right now, he's in a RICO, a one-man RICO. I've never heard of a one-man
RICO. That's crazy.
Usually a RICO means racketeering with multiple people. A crew, a gang, or whatever. One man RICO's crazy, but he's in a one man RICO because he was a horny ass dude with a bunch of baby oil, allegedly abusing Cassie.
We know.
But my thing is, if he wasn't as horny, his discretions would be on the low still, and maybe he wouldn't be in NCC or wherever he's at in Brooklyn. So you have that. Then you got
R. Kelly. But he's talking about extreme cases now.
He's wild out. Yo, he's right now. I just saw a video the other day of R. Kelly. He's singing on the phone to a girl's birthday party from the cell. And my thing is, like, you got inmates, Robert, like Gayle King said, Robert, you're being forced now to call into your cellmates or your prison mates' family on the outside to say happy birthday. Not just once, I've seen it before happen too to other people or just other instances. Robert, how mighty have you fallen? All right. Another sidebar. Robert's not on my Mount Rushmore.
Oh, R&B.
He's not.
I agree. But then again, but I've always said it. No. Aside from all of the legal stuff, I've never really been into his music because his music to me was always very like freaky deaky.
Well, redacted, aka Robert. Redacted is not really on my Mount Rushmore. because as talented as he is, and the man's a talented, a lot of his music didn't age well. A lot of his music sounds dated. A lot of his lyrics sound dated. And he will always do a weird-ass curveball, like, why are you doing this? I was like, what is this? Even then, I was like, this is a bad time.
My man, I thought feeling on your booty was way like more like creepy.
I don't like feeling on your booty at all. I don't like feeling on your booty at all. I'll take that over Tori. And then the trapped in the closet, the, a dwarf coming out the closet. I'm like, what are we doing? Yeah. But he also has classics like When a Woman's Fed Up, A Woman's Threat. Just various records. He is talented, but I was like, it's a bit much and it's a bit weird. So he's not my Mount Rushmore, but he is a dare I say, he is a legend. But now you're a horny in prison legend. So what does it matter now? I bet you want to get healed now and go to therapy now. So he's another one. So I got Bill.
Puff,
Robert. Me, I grew up a big film buff. So I would always like to see, this group, this studio made this movie. No wonder. We all have that moment where we like, New Line Cinema, it's going to be a good movie. Or Miramax.
Yeah, I know where you're going.
Harvey.
Yo, Harvey Weinstein. You're probably the worst one.
Harvey Weinstein.
Because he was done with Epstein.
One of my favorite movies is Rounders with Matt Damon and Ed Norton. Whenever I see him, I'm like, damn.
Harvey. I'm sorry, Donald Trump got to be on that too. He's another
creep. He won though. Here's the thing. But this is how it pays to be MAGA. His horniness didn't deter him. If anything, it emboldened him and emboldened others. He's an anomaly.
He's still on that Mount Rushmore creep.
No, he's a creep on a Mount Rushmore. He damn near made the mountain. But he's not falling victim to his horniness. I'm talking about the people who are falling victim to it. You got Bill. You got Robert. You got Puff. Harvey.
Epstein.
He got murdered over his horniness. Yeah. Matter of fact, you know what's sad? One of his victims just committed suicide yesterday. Yeah. I saw it. So, yeah. That's how you know. Yeah, he did that shit. I always maintain, from a battle rap perspective, having the stench, not no legal stuff happened to you, but having the stench of being a horny and freaky ass dude, man. If you didn't have that on your jacket, it would have been a smoother ride. It would have been a smoother battle ride. But the fact that you had that on your stench on your jacket, it made it worse for you. So you being horny, why are you talking Millie Bob Brown or whatever, through text, a 15-year-old. But anyway, and why are you kissing a 17-year-old on stage? They're so far gone ever. And you acknowledging on stage, oh my God, I'm getting choked for this. But anyway, yes, you having that freaky ass dude 69 God stuff on you, you know, the hornet. Zion Williamson.
Yo, he's out here wilding.
Yeah, that Mariah Mills, like, that is the classic case of BBL gone wrong. All right? It's just all lopsided. You know, she looks like she has a watermelon. That's crazy. I can't even say. She's crazy, but he's even more crazy. And it's affected his career because he's rarely on the court. He's always getting in trouble. His name's in the news for the wrong reason. So this horny thing, it's just, you know, I didn't like what Damon Wayans said too to Shannon Sharp.
What he said?
Damon Wayans had an interview recently with Shannon Sharp, and he said that he stole a girl from his nephew.
Not that he stole him, but that he dated her. He fell in love with her too, he said.
How could you fall in love with somebody?
Hey, man, people have different... He's been in Hollywood for mad long, so it's a different way of thinking.
First of all, fall in love with somebody that's like 10 years younger than you, 8 years younger than you, 6 years... To me, it's like falling in love with a baboon or a gorilla.
I can understand a five-year gap, even an eight-year gap, but I think after 8 years, that's when it gets kind of creepy.
I don't know. I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm just saying, like, you have too much access. Like I feel like when men date older... I mean, they're younger like that. They are afraid of being challenged by a peer of their age range. Mm. And they feel like maybe I'll take a bet on a young person that I could potentially control.
Or groom. Now, let's move on because we do have a little bit more stuff to talk about. Now, Mike, I see here you said, are the wives coming?
Are the wives coming? That's a popular phrase that's usually said in a group chat when the guys want to initially link up. And remember, when guys are talking about linking up, this combo's been happening for 10 months in advance because that's how long it takes for men to finalize.
Oh, chat.
It's in general. It takes a long time for dudes to finalize plans. Usually when it finally gets done, one guy goes, yo, are the wives coming? And it's a way to either check in or make sure we understand that it's a guy's night strictly, or if we have to have one person with the wife, then we all got to bring our wives because we can't just have one person bring their wife. So it's a great way. It's like checking in. Like, you know how they, yo, you got to check in. It's a great way of checking in to see the temperature of the group chat and the, how would I say? Just, you know, what's the etiquette. And there is etiquette in hanging out with a group of friends of the same gender, same sex. And you really, usually you want to have just the homies or just the fellas or just the ladies, because there might be some things you want to iron out first amongst each other in the group first. Just news and notes. If someone has a grievance, if someone's going through something personal, if someone's going through something that they need guidance in on, it's hard to have to unleash and be vulnerable and get that guidance if you got to modify what you say because a spouse is present. But there is etiquette in going out with your friends, with your guy friends and your girlfriends, and not having your significant others around. That's, I say you need to ask, are the wives coming, just to make sure that we're on the up and up. But what do you think?
Well, I think that it exists on both sexes, right? Because me personally, like, I always say this, your friends are your friends, my friends are my friends. You know, we don't really have a lot of joint friends. You know what I'm saying? I believe, like, people should have, like, their own separation individually and have, like, a little bit of, like, a individualism in a relationship. Yo, I don't like hanging out with the chick that always wants to bring her man to every outing. I'm sorry. Especially, like, as we're older, like, it should be understood that a girl's night is for the women. And there are just some women that are like, nah, but that's my man. And it's just like, nah. I think the only exception is if, like, let's say, like, we all met them together and we all, like, grew up with each other, that he's one of the girls in a way, you know, in that sense. Like, I've been friends with people that, like, yo, they've been together since we were in high school. So, like, if her man comes, it doesn't bother me. But even then, you should still ask, like, hey, are we bringing our partners? Or, you know what I'm saying? Because, yo, some women don't want to hang out with your man. I'm sorry. He's not one of the girls.
I agree. Everybody needs their privacy and yes. their space to unleash, to expound on stuff.
I think it's weird when couples want to do everything together.
I'm thinking of one person in particular that after a while, his lady was usually around a lot. But she usually was okay. That's why I let us have our alone time with her husband. Even still, you know, you have to be on your P's and Q's and not say certain jokes and not unleash too much information out there. You know, it's awkward. But I just wonder, when that happens, when there's an infraction going on where the spouse is coming, is the spouse being disrespectful or is the friend who's inviting the spouse being disrespectful?
The friend inviting the spouse is being disrespectful.
Okay.
Because they should know better.
They should know better.
Yeah.
What should, like, for me, I know there's times where, like, in the past, you invited me just in case certain places. And I was like, no, I'm good. I, like a lot of guys, we had this joke. There's this joke where, like, if your girl goes out to brunch, it's like, go have fun. And if she gets drunk at brunch, you're like, oh, shit. Let me make sure she don't come upstairs sloppy or whatever. And she's like, you know, she don't.
She's hot and ready.
Yeah. Or cold and snoring. I just feel like it's your duty, especially as a man, to make sure she comes home to a comfortable environment. She's okay. She's safe. She made her home safe. Her Uber was fine. And that, you know, she gets to relax or whatever. I do find it weird when a man who's being invited by his lady to go to an outing is not cognizant aware to be like, you know what, babe, now you go ahead and I'll see when you come back. Like, why are you going? What are you doing?
I think especially, like, there's women that like to introduce their partners to, like, the girl group. So, like, they get to know him. There's women that are like that.
I guess.
And I guess, like, when we started going out, right? Remember, we were in our 20s at this point. But, like, I brought you around my girls so, like, you could meet them and they get to know you.
A few times. And then after that, I was like, all right, you know who I am. And I
exactly.
And that's that. But I just feel like, There seems to be a correlation between insecurity and hysteria with some of these actions of constantly being out with your spouse while they're with their friends. Like, you're not comfortable to let your lady or your man just be out and about. Whenever you go out, it's like, I'm worried about safety. So if it's like getting late, I just make sure, yo, are you okay?
Yeah,
you're safe. Yeah. You know, when you arrive, whatever. Because I watch too much ID channel or ID network where it's like, yo, you can't trust the world, man. The world's crazy as hell. But other than that, no, I'm just cool. It's fine. But yeah, are the wives coming? We always ask that. Are the wives coming? You are the wives coming? Yo, they're not coming, right? And usually it's a good sign. You know what I'm saying? But there are moments where, like, you kind of do want the wives, though. Because sometimes you want the wives because you want to have a situation where the kids are present, too. With that being said, You don't have to do too much talking as guys. You can just sit back and watch the game, have women around you help out, cook or chill. And it's like less, this is for me, I'm speaking really, this is for me. But like sometimes I am antisocial. Mm-hmm. So there are some times where I don't mind having a bunch of wives present, including my own, because it means I have to talk less. The women who are more natural speakers will talk more amongst each other, and they will also facilitate the days. Yeah, it's weird. It's a weird app. They'll facilitate the conversation and facilitate how to move. Where I'm like, good, I gotta talk because I don't like the spotlight. So there's that. But for the most part, no, the wives aren't coming, or the guys aren't coming. But what else? What's he talking about?
Okay, well, we also wanted to talk about sinners.
No, should you ask why it ended?
You want to talk about
that? Let's end with sinners.
Okay.
Because if we didn't start with sinners, we got to end it with sinners.
Okay.
So a few weeks ago, we were talking about, I guess, people going through breakups, and you told me that it's important for people in the context, it was men, but in people in general, they should ask why it ended. Why do you say a person should ask or inquire about to their ex-partner or ex-spouse in the aftermath of why it happened? Why should they get clarity from that person?
I think that if you're the type of person that really wants to work on themselves and get more clarity, I think it's not a bad idea to ask somebody, yo, why did it end?
Okay.
And I say that because, you know, maybe there's something that you don't notice about yourself that other person noticed that, you know, maybe you should learn about, you know? Now, of course, the reality is that most people are not going to be honest and say really why it ended. And also, a lot of people are just immature and they don't want to talk to their ex, right? But I think it's good, especially when you get to a point where it's like, okay, time has passed. There's no more feelings about it. It's been years. I just want to know, why did it end? And sometimes you might find out it's not even about you. Maybe it's because of where that person was at that time.
Okay. Is that your spiel? Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay. My response to that is I see value, I guess, in talking to someone in the aftermath and they are getting to explain their reasons for, you know, for why it ended, their perspective. But I also feel like, man, what's the fucking point of us talking about this shit if it's not going to lead to us going anywhere else?
But it doesn't. We don't need to get back together.
I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that, like, usually when shit ends, you're kind of telling me in the moment of why it's ending in a roundabout way, your gripes with me, your frustrations with me. So I don't need now a SportsCenter highlight afterwards. Just to reiterate that. Usually, if you are paying attention, you should be able to get initially.
But sometimes you're oblivious. You're blindsided. So you really want to know.
How many blindsided breakups truly are there? Usually when there's a breakup.
A lot of people are blindsided, Mike. And I hear that especially from men.
That means they never had awareness and they probably never will. Or if you in the midst of a breakup, if you don't understand what's going on and you're not aware and you're still oblivious, I don't trust that in the aftermath you'll get the clarity and it'll sink in. You maybe heard the same things in a nicer tone down the line, but I don't know if it'll sink in. I think your ego may be strong enough still where you'll block it. Maybe I'm wrong. It can be situational. But what I will say is I'm not so sure that it's always necessary for the person who either initiated the breakup or felt very strongly in the breakup with their own perspectives, mm-hmm. needs to reiterate it with more clarity. Mm-hmm. I feel like at times, not always, but at times, I feel like sometimes what's done is done. Mm-hmm. Let sleeping dogs lie. And also, it's also situational. Yes, if it's like a, let's say it's a situation where it's amicable. Mm. Where both sides felt like this ain't working, it's time to move on. Maybe in the aftermath, sure, we can come back and say, this is why it didn't work out for me, or that's why it didn't work out for you, and you both are acknowledging that the styles didn't match. All right, fine. I'll give you that for sure. But sometimes people are, and this is where I think you get controversial, sometimes people are wronged, there's infidelity, there's salacious reasons for the initial breakup. And if there's a salacious reason for initial breakup, like I'm thinking about Lawrence and Nisa and them, because the other day I started that episode in season 2, where after a long season 2, they finally met at the old apartment, and she was able to explain to him why she stepped out and why he acted the way he acted and his depression versus her shit. I'm like, I was wondering, like, it's not necessary, because it's like, we know why y'all broke up ultimately. You know, she was frustrated with him because he was depressed about him, and he wasn't being motivated. And in turn, she felt the best way to wrap her brain around that is to step out on him. That's pretty cut and dry. I don't need to know that because you were upset with me, you sucked another guy's dick. It's not that serious. It's like, I get it. You weren't fucking with me no more. I wasn't in your head no more. You rather have somebody else. You chose. Just say you chose somebody else. You value someone else over me. But you don't have to give me a lecture, or not even a lecture, but you don't have to reiterate to me how I was devaluing myself to your brain. I got it the first time. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like sometimes in those instances, it's like, I'm really doing this for you, not for me. This conversation. You're getting your shit off as far as you want to reiterate how you were dissuaded or dismayed from being attracted to me more. And my thing is like, that's more for you than it is for me. Like, now you don't give me tips like, well, in the future, be more attracted to your next mate by doing this. Like, I'm fine, okay. But it's like, I don't, you know, sometimes it's not always necessary to have the person reiterate how much shit fell apart for them. You know, sometimes it's important. It can be important to let sleeping dogs lie. Mm-hmm. But like I said, that's particular situations. Otherwise, yeah, if it's amicable and just styles it and match, then I get it, sure. But I also feel like people talk too much. It's like, even to men, like, a lot of times when men act blindsided by why a situation failed with them or a relationship or marriage, it's like, dude, on some level, you knew that either you picked wrong initially, you picked out of your league, you picked with the wrong intentions, you never listened to her, so you didn't know your style of living is not for her, or vice versa. You guys weren't as much of a match as you thought about. You were way more to aesthetics probably than you were into the depth of her. You didn't understand her or him, whoever it is. Sometimes men or people in general, they're choosing wrong initially and not dealing with that. It's not that it ended wrong, it's that it started out wrong. And if you started out wrong, that means that the end conversation might not matter. You know what I'm saying? The end game and the end combo might not matter. You know what I'm saying? We started out misguided. And we started out with the wrong goals. We weren't aligned. I valued you for this, but you valued me for this. And they were at different paths. They didn't meet together. They were different cross paths. You know what I'm saying? And I do feel like a lot of people are linking up for the wrong reasons. A lot of people out there are choosing for the wrong reasons.
What's the wrong reason to choose somebody?
Because they fit into your fairy tale idea of how to of what a spouse is supposed to be. You may have misguided thoughts about what a spouse is supposed to do for you. Supposed to do with you or lying to you, or you have a misguided way of in how a person's supposed to serve you or serve with you. Maybe you chose with your eyes and not with your ears. You got to hear somebody before you see somebody. If you can hear somebody and can stomach with what they tell you, that's way more important to me than looking at them. You know, the aesthetics only go so far. Can you listen to them? Can you take in what they say to you and digest it? That's way more important than looking at someone. You know, the aesthetics are always second or third banana. You know what I'm saying? In my book, can I listen to you and take something from you and value it? That's way more important to me. And people are meeting with their eyes and not with their ears. That's my book.
Okay.
But I get you. I get where you're coming from.
Okay.
So sinners.
You want to talk about sinners?
Sinners, 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 sinners.
First of all, I want to say congratulations to Ryan Coogler and the whole cast on a phenomenal movie. And they've had success. This is the second weekend. It's been out. First weekend, they cracked 49 million. This weekend, they cracked 42 million. So congrats to you guys.
I think that 49 million you referenced initially is a little conservative the first weekend. I think it went up to 61.
Really?
By Sunday night, yeah. So it got went to 61. And then the true tests were that Monday and Tuesday of this week, it did like 7.9 million, which means that in the weekdays, it was making money. Then they said the true test is a Wednesday. It's the middle of the week. No one goes to the theaters. It did 7 million on a Wednesday. And now they're saying that Sinners is estimated to earn a phenomenal $42 million domestically this weekend, a 10% drop. That would be the smallest box office drop for a major movie in modern history. There's a strong chance the film could earn more this weekend than last weekend. That means usually when a movie's out for the second week or third week, there's big drops. 20%, 30%, 50%, 80%. It just drops, especially in this modern era where a lot of people aren't going to movie theaters no more. You have Netflix at home. You just have different streaming services. You have distractions. The film industry is not as robust as it was 30, 40 years ago. So there's less movies out to begin with. But this movie, Sinners, with Ryan Coogler, Michael B. Jordan, Delroy Lindo, what's her name from England?
I'm but, sorry.
She played Annie in the movie. Anne.
Hailee Steinfeld. I know that.
Yeah.
Wanmi Musaku.
Yeah, she's from England.
Omar Benson Miller.
And a few others. And
Miles.
He was a new person. He actually was a musician that was touring with her.
Yeah, the singer.
Yeah, and she put him on for this role and told him to try for it, to audition for it. Regardless, to have that much of success in the second week, and also this is also movie Sinners, before we get into it, this success of the movie, it's showing the power of word of mouth. Word of mouth is such a way to communicate a product. You know, my daughter last summer went to get her hair braided, which I'm not going to recommend no more in general because she needs to grow her hair out more and whatnot. She got her hair braided at a spot, and the spot that she went to, I didn't know about it through Instagram or whatever. Word of mouth. Different women were telling me, oh, you should go here. You should go here. You should go here. You know, sometimes word of mouth is your best promoter. Sometimes the work you put in, it invigorates other people who enjoyed it to go out and promote on your behalf. And you're seeing that with Sinners. So I say that to say, I think that I'm proud of Ryan Coogler.
Yes.
And also I'm proud of Michael B. Jordan because he had a bad rap in the last few years as far as his acting qualities and acting chops. You know, people want people want Michael B. Jordan to be like some uber thespian, like some Daniel Day-Lewis type where like he's straight Shakespearean and war out thou. You know, he's had his acting chops for years, for decades, you know. And finally, I feel like with this film, the chatter is quieted. He's a good actor. He played two characters, twins. He was able to play off them both.
Stack and Smoke.
Yeah, Stack and Smoke or Smoke and Stack because Smoke is the one that's with the blue lapel or blue tie. Stack had the fedora or the red hat. And the red thing. And he played them both very well. By the way, I'm gonna go see it again. He played them both
very well. In IMAX, right? You
want to
go see it?
I want to see IMAX. Lincoln Square. They were sold out today. Period.
That's good.
I was like, God damn it. You know what I'm saying? So I'm gonna find a way to see it.
Listen.
But yeah. Sinners, yeah. Sinners is to me, I gave it a hard 8 out of 10, but now as I think about it again, it's I don't know how to rate it. But go ahead, you give me your impression.
Okay, so first for those that haven't watched Sinners, so basically it's a movie that takes place in the 1930s, Mississippi. It's these two brothers that had left Mississippi to go to Chicago for years, but then they're coming back because they want to open up a little juke joint that plays blues.
And supposedly they got dirty money. And
sorry, my daughter is texting me. We are recording, my love. Say hi to the world.
Hey, world!
Yeah. Go ahead. You were saying about...
So they reach out to their people locally. Like one of them was a Chinese couple that they were cool with. Another guy was like a sharecropper that they were cool with.
They hired Delroy's character, Delta Slim, to do music.
So this was one day where they were coming together first by the juke joint and then have a grand opening. And it takes place in the 1930s in Mississippi, but it's also about vampires and how vampires come to the town and basically terrorize the people there. And if you know me, I love me some vampire movies. Like one of my favorite vampire movies is 30 Days of Night.
Yeah, you love 30 Days of Night.
So although it is about vampires, there's a lot of like layered multiple storylines. It has to do with racial issues. It has to do with the blues, the history of blues and houses and influenced so many other music genres. It has to do with like the inequality in the South. It has to do with the duality of people. No one in that film is free from like being innocent. It's like you can see the duality in people. And that's really what the twin brothers represent. And then on a more sinister level, I think it also says it's like, man, white people are some bloodsuckers.
I would say what I got from Sinners is that not just musically, but in general, it's a movie about the blues because most of the main characters were fighting demons and fighting the blues. Smoke, one of the twin brothers, he's mourning his infant son who had passed away back in Mississippi. You see him go to the burial site and grieve. He goes to his lost love. One meets character Annie, and it was hard to even look at her at first because he's still grieving a lost love and the baby. She is mourning him because, you went to Chicago and you never came back for me, et cetera, et cetera. She's grieving her own issues with that lost love and infant. Then you got Stack. He has an old flame that he's dealing with who is Octoroon, I guess you'd call it. Octoroon, person who is white passing and should be married to a white man, which she is, but he is mourning being back in town and having to deal with that, and he has the blues from that lost love himself. She in the same vein is still mourning him, even though he passed the buck to her to move on to a married man, well, to get married to a man, to have a good life. You got Miles, or Sammy, the little cousin. His blues is that He's a son of a preacher, and he wants to be a full time musician, but he has to overcome his father's. And Delroy Lindo's character, he's an old wino, and he explains in that dune buggy ride why he has that depression of why he's drinking now. Mind you, I saw a clip the other day where Delroy Lindo said that whole dune buggy scene of the chain gang and Delta pointing out how like he's depressed for his boy who used to be a singer and got caught up in the chain gang, got arrested. And was talented. That was all improvised. That was all off the top of their heads. Wow. Yeah, because Deborah was saying how like they were just talking, and Ryan had the film rolling, and they let him have that talk, and off the top of their heads, they're creating that. And Michael was like, "You got to keep that." Deborah just went in. So Delroy Lindo's character Delta Slim is fighting demons too.
You know, honestly, Delroy Lindo's character was actually my favorite.
Anything that Delroy Lindo does, I always sit down and watch.
Because I think that when you meet him, you could tell like he's an alcoholic musician that plays the harmonica for money so he could get drunk. But I think that somewhere inside of him, he wanted to be seen as like, yo, I know you look at me as a degenerate, but I'm actually a good person. And I think, not to give it away, but ultimately he shows that he self-sacrifices for other people.
Yeah, he definitely paid it forward because he mourned a friend of his that he said on the dune buggy that paid the price for the times that they were living in, and that he held on to that for years, and that's why.
Yeah, he had that guilt. Yeah,
and he was able to eventually pay it forward if you see the movie. But yeah, everybody was fighting the blues, and I think it's one of those movies where like, it's one of those all-day movies and once in a, like, everything happens in one night, and in that night, all their blues came into a head, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I think that it was massively crafted.
Yeah.
Massively done. I think Ryan Coogler, this is probably Ryan Coogler's best movie I could feel. I love Creed, love Black Panther, loved Fruitvale. But I think this is...
Wow, we've got to see all of his movies in the movie theater.
Very rare you find a director that you can track and roll with and go on their journey.
And honestly, I went to go see this film because I had watched them do like an interview. And then... I think I was listening to Van Lathan, and Van Lathan had seen it like right before it came out. And he was like, guys, this is really good. You guys go see it. I was like, you know what? Let me go see it. And I was not disappointed. Sinners was good.
Yeah.
Low key, it should have been called Eaters.
Yeah, yeah. Very sexual. They're very horny.
Very sexual. Very horny. A lot of
Shannon Sharp would love this. I mean, I don't know. But Shannon Sharp would love this.
Oh my God. Are we going to talk about Kanye?
We don't deserve it. I mean, what I will say is for the Kanye thing, real quick sidebar, he revealed this week that he, in a song called Cousins, that he used to have sexual escapades with his male cousin. He alleged that he gave fellatio to his cousin.
Mm-hmm.
And underage and they're 14 years old or something like that. What I would say to that is it kind of speaks to the idea that what you said for years and other people have said recently, that maybe people like Kanye are sexually repressed and they are maybe fluid or gay and they don't really want to acknowledge that. And then it builds animosity and internal struggle. There's that to take from it. But Kanye himself, I don't care.
What I find interesting is that he told us this to promote his new song. And in the new song, the chorus is, you know, I gave my cousin. And I just felt like, hold up, who's going to be in the car and turn on that song and be like, yeah, I gave my cousin. Like, he's ridiculous. He's ridiculous. Yeah. He's hard to take seriously.
He's a sideshow.
And my thing is, you know, one, I feel like, damn, if I was his cousin, I'd feel a type of way. Because, motherfucker, why are you talking about this in person? Like, in public? Like, you don't have my authority to talk about that. Or maybe he does. I don't know. I think that there's also a lot of irresponsible conversations being had around it because people are talking about pedophilia. Well, pedophilia is when it's like a large age gap or like an adult with a child. If there is some type of sexual exploration happening amongst children, I don't know if that constitutes pedophilia. I don't know. But let's not start calling people molesters for that. Like, if him and his cousin were at the same age, around the same age, like, I'm not saying it's normal. I'm saying it is somewhat common for children to sometimes explore. And that's what I'll say.
Yeah, we said molesters.
And I cannot stand, like, people use some words, like, way too often for me. And, like, if I use that P word, like a pedophile, if I call you a molester, it's because, yo, you got that jacket on you for real. You know what I'm saying? But do I feel bad for Kanye? No. He needs to go talk to a therapist. Should he be making music about this in this form? I don't care. I just don't care. Stop caring. Yeah. Do I believe him? I don't know if I believe him either. It's interesting to see how many people are like, yo, I was good with him up until now. I'm like, this is the one that did it.
So Harry Tubman chose slavery or whatever.
Talking about other people's kids or talking about, you know, saying some really anti-Semitic shit wasn't enough for you?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it shows you people's value system.
Correct. But
back to sinners. Speaking of a sinner. Back to sinners. Like I said, I think people were just all their blues individually came into a head that one night in the story. And I think they all were, in one way or another, character-wise, better for it. Like I said, it's a phenomenal movie. Also, I don't like the discourse that Variety Magazine and other people try to have saying, oh, will this make money in the long run? You know, international market is not picking up as well, and we don't know yet. And will they make the money back? Will they be profitable? Will they break even? And there's context to this. Ryan Coogler, for this film with Warner Brothers Studios, got a deal that other people have gotten, Quentin Tarantino and others, have gotten this deal where, like, after 25 years, they get to own the IP outright again because this is an original film or original piece of art as opposed to when you do a film off a book or a cartoon or whatever or a video game. You don't own the original IP. Right. This is all Ryan Coogler's brainchild. So he gets to own it outright after 25 years. He worked that deal. And he also, before the movie gets profitable, he gets his money back first. Mm. So he got his money initially back. He don't have to wait for his money. Mm. So you know
that all those film production studios are not happy.
Well, supposedly that's the idea that a lot of people in Hollywood are like trying to ruffle feathers and disrupt this movie because they don't want to set a precedent of like having that kind of autonomy and power back in creative's hands. That's a fight bigger than me. All I know is that Ryan seemingly has won. He has a leverage and he used that leverage to make a film that is speaking to audiences out there, and we're all the better for it. You know, think about in the last 15, 20 years that we've been robbed of certain filmmakers and great art because studios aren't investing in it anymore. It doesn't have
comic
books to it.
Even going to see that movie, I saw stuff of that because, you know, for the trailers, another Mission Impossible movie, another Final Destination movie. Another Marvel movie. They're remaking I Know What You Did Last Summer. It's like, yo, nothing is original. And that is why I am so happy that this movie is getting the critical acclaim that it is, you know, and that it is having also the financial success. Because what happens is, a lot of the really, really good movies are indie movies. So they don't make any money, but then award season comes and they get all the awards. And then later on, you know, they get little deals with networks so that they can be streamed. Right. But this particular film is starting a pie from the beginning. And we need that. We need original content. We need filmmakers and writers that have great original ideas to take risks like this.
I agree. It's been a while since we had
to. But I also feel like, you know, these film studios were a little bit more lenient with Ryan because he's proven to be successful already with Black Panther, sure. With Fruitvale Station.
He's a proven commodity.
With Creed, exactly. Mm-hmm. So they're like, okay, we'll take a risk in this. And listen, the risk is paying off.
Sure. Definitely paid off, it seems like. And more than maybe he may have anticipated, because he wrote like a little letter today, a little op-ed letter where he thanked fans. Yeah. It was a nice letter, right? He's very humbled about what happened. He did an interview yesterday with Democracy Now, with her name. She's a very famous journalist, this white lady. Robin something. But you know, she asked him, she's very lefty. She asked us, like, why do you think there's so much backlash as far as, you know, about your story getting the money it's making and mm-hmm. and whatnot. And he was like, he was being humble. He was like, I won't say that. I'd rather not comment on that right now. But you know, some of it has to be. I don't want to say racial. I do think there are some powers that be would rather have traditional have-nots come into the party. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? So
do you think that eventually Ryan Coogler would go on the Mount Rushmore of the black directors for people like Spike Lee and oh my God, the guy from L.A. John Singleton.
Well, you know, right now he's already, I think, the most profitable. Most profited.
Well, yeah, I mean, he did Black Panther, so
yeah. So that's part of it. I think here, Democracy Now. Yeah, I think he's getting there. I mean, shoot. I mean, listen, Spike's first few movies out the gate were great movies. She Got to Have It.
The Right Thing.
Right before that was
School Days.
Like, so he was already, you know, making his mark he was already established as one.
Oh, of yeah, yeah. The best. I mean, he was doing commercials with Michael Jordan.
Listen, he was given the task of Malcolm X, what, his fifth movie, maybe?
Excellent.
Well, there was more about the Blues before that, but still, like, he didn't have 10 movies under his belt.
And, you know, Ryan is using Michael B. Jordan in the way Spike used Denzel in a lot of his movies, right?
The way Scorsese used De Niro, DiCaprio, etc. So it's good to see chemistry work out on screen.
Because you just mentioned De Niro, I just want to say.
Oh, the horny guys. Horny, Pacino, horny, De Niro, horny, horny old men.
Listen, people always want to put De Niro and Pacino up there as like the greatest actors. I'm telling you right now, unpopular opinion, I'll take a Joe Pesci over De Niro and Pacino.
That's your unpopular opinion.
That is my unpopular opinion.
I think.
Because of the range. Joe Pesci gave us Goodfellas and he gave us Home Alone. He gave us My Cousin Vinny and he gave us Casino.
His, yes.
And even though he was not the lead actor, he stole the show in most of those films.
Yeah. He makes me laugh in Lethal Weapon 3 and 4. He makes me laugh in Lethal Weapon 4 and Chris Rock's in the movie. Mm-hmm. So go figure.
He steals the show.
You know, so he has charisma. What I would say about Pesci is rarely have I seen him in a movie and I was uninterested. Rarely.
I mean, in a Bronx film,
even the Super I watched.
Damn.
All right. I don't think De Niro has My Cousin Vinny. I mean,
Meet the Parents and analyze this.
Analyze this. I'll give him credit for it. But does Pacino have a comedy movie? No. No. He was in Dick Tracy, but that's not all that. I don't know. I feel like some people are only good at what they do. And if you're only good at what you do, then hopefully you're just a killer in it. So Denzel don't do comedies, But what he does do, whatever he does, he kills it. Mm-hmm. But I do like what you're saying about Joe Pesci and his versatility. He has great range.
And my favorite actors are typically the people that do everything, like Jamie Foxx, right? Robin Williams. People that can step into these different worlds and just kill it.
Yeah.
I love John Leguizamo, you know? Like, those are my type of, like, these are true artists that can step into any role and kill it. And they could do one-man shows. And they can do stand-up.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. We're losing that, though. I don't really see that in today's generation of young people coming up, have that versatility. Not really. Everybody's in their silos with certain skill sets, and that's it. But yeah, I agree. And I'm glad that Michael B. Jordan and Ryan Coogler have that chemistry. I'm excited to see what's to come. I know Michael B. Jordan himself, he's writing and producing and directing a remake of The Thomas Crown Affair. Mm-hmm. So I wonder what that's going to be like. He did Creed 3, which was great. Creed 3 was better than Creed 2. Creed 2 wasn't either Michael B. Jordan or Ryan Coogler. Someone else did it. And MBJ did Creed 3 directing-wise. And that was great. So yeah, I'm excited for them both. I'm excited for them individually. I'm happy for Ryan Coogler. I'm happy that this shows that word of mouth is still valuable and loving your craft is still valuable. And that's what I got from Sinners, more than all, as far as the aftermath of Sinners.
I agree.
You know, on that note, is there anything else you want to talk about? Anything else you want on your mind?
I did want to ask, but you know what? I think we're good. I think this is sweet.
Are you sure?
We're an hour and 22 minutes in.
All right. Well, until next time, thank you for joining us on The Break Room. I appreciate it. Sorry for the wait, but until next time, be safe.
Peace, y'all.
All right, let me end this session. All right, there we go. It said, there we go.